Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you all. The Lord be with you. If you're new or visiting us today, a very, very special welcome to you. Please stay behind and make yourself known to us after the service. Would you turn with me in your Bibles to chapter 3, verses 19 to 20, that Coral read to us? It's a very easy little passage to find in your Bibles. It's usually found on page 4, right at the very beginning of the Bibles. And we continue our Bible teaching time through these first four chapters of Genesis, and the series has been called God's Creation, A Call to Care. And today's sermon title is Healing Care. Well, the story of Genesis is the story of God's creation, and it's the story of the beginnings of God's people, who they are, where they have come from, and God's desire and design for them to be. But primarily, Genesis is the story of who God is, who our God is. And he cares for his creation as we read through these chapters, and he calls us to care. And so compiled into what we now call the law, the first five books of the Bible form that history. You should have a little sermon outline inside your bulletins. Sermon outlines are great just to take notes or to see how long the minister's going to be preaching for, but good just to remember what we've learnt during the day, although I understand you may be able to go online and listen to the sermon later. Well, let's just do a quick recap. 2 weeks ago, we ended chapters 1 and 2 with the words, "Adam and his wife were both naked and they felt no shame." We were left with a picture of life in the beginning. God had created the heavens and the earth, and the foundations laid were very good. It sounded wonderful, but that's not how we experience life today. Nor was it for God's people as they began their new life in the promised land, with this story ringing in their ears as being told to them. We with them struggle now in life to be like God, to care for his creation and for each other, and to maintain our relationship with God. At times we care, but at others we fail to care. We feel cared for by some, but not by others. There are those we find easy to care for and willing to do so, and others we would rather we didn't. And despite our attempts to care as God wants us, we can't, and we don't. And there's death, we die. And we ask, what's happened? Why is that so? Why is it such a struggle to care? Well, last week in chapter 3, we read there was a failure. There was a failure to trust God at his word, an original failure that had ongoing ramifications for mankind, a failure to keep to the maker's instructions. They were not to take of the tree of the fruit of the knowledge of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and eat. They were not to know both good and evil, but they did. They began to know both good and evil, but it wasn't good for them. They were not made to manage knowing both. What they thought would be good wasn't. And as a result, what we find is that they struggle to care. They struggle to care for creation around about them, for each other, for themselves, and now for their relationship with God. They had failed to keep to their Maker's instructions. They had failed to trust God at his word. And the foolishness of their newfound wisdom in knowing both good and evil was seen in all its fullness when God, probing question, asked them and their answer, "Have you eaten from the tree of the knowledge I commanded, good and evil, which I commanded you not to eat from?" God reveals what they had become and all mankind that follows. They are now concerned for their own welfare at the expense of the other. They fail to take responsibility for what they have done and blame the other. We, with them now, no longer are able to care properly for creation, for our relationship with others, with ourselves, and with God. The scriptures remind us in Isaiah 53 verse 6, all have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God. There is no one righteous, no, not one. Concerned for our own welfare at the expense of others, we now struggle to care. Every aspect of our lives is affected. The book of Ecclesiastes and the wisdom literature are great books to go to see the reality of this, let alone just going to our own experience. Every aspect of our lives is affected. We were left at the end of verse 19 of chapter 3 with the thought, this is why we struggle. This is why we struggle still today to care. And we were left hanging with the judgment of God. The state of mankind appears to be this. Here in this fallen creation, the judgment has come down. We cannot be what God desired and designed for us to be. Such is the picture at the end of verse 19. Everything had changed. Once what was only very good is now both good and evil. But not God. Not God. Despite what had happened, God had not ceased to care. What will God do next? What will he do to show he still cares? To heal what is now broken. Our son, Jonathan, you may know, is into films. This is his field of interest, his field of expertise, in fact, and his hopes for the future. As a way of bonding between father and son, Jonathan takes me to see films that are crafted well. Maybe not the kind of films that we might want to see, but they're films that are crafted very, very well. And after the film, we get a coffee and we chat for a long while and sharing what we both saw in the film together. I've learnt with Jonathan to look beyond the story of the film to how the director crafts his film. In particular, to the use of cinematography. There's a technique where the director stops where the story is going and takes us back to a previous scene. It's called a prequel. The writer of Genesis is doing that now in the story. In verse 20, what he does is he takes us back, in chapter 3, verse 20 there, he takes us back to where we left off at the end of Genesis 2, taking with us what we've now learnt in Genesis 3 and prepares us for chapter 4 and what is about to occur. In taking us back, we hear what God next to show that despite our failure to care, God still cares to heal what is broken. Firstly there, if you look with me in verse 20, we read, though Adam and Eve were sinners, God is willing to forgive and give them a second chance. It's not written there that he actually does that. But to start afresh, keeping to his instructions, I take it, that's what we've meant to hear by Adam choosing to take up his God-given responsibility again, a right now, and to care for Eve by naming her. Though sinners, God is willing to forgive and give people a second chance. And Adam is given that second chance, as is Eve, to care, to be like God, to master over evil and do good. And he does. He names Eve. And sinners, we can know that God too is willing to forgive and give people a second chance too, as our Lord did in our gospel reading for the woman caught in adultery. Did you hear that? But we might ask, how could this forgiveness come about? This covering over of their sin and shame and a new beginning. Again, we're not told plainly, but however, placing ourselves in the shoes of those who had been wandering in the desert for whom this story is being told to, and thinking about this question from their perspective as they would when they heard it, we remember that during their journey to the promised land, despite their sin, God still dwelt with them. He dwelt with them by giving them the tabernacle, which the word means, God's dwelling with his people. And he showed his care for them when they sinned by giving them the sacrificial system to remind them that to cover the shame of sin, the death of an animal became the substitute for their sin. They would see the connection here of verse 21 with what's being said. In Leviticus chapter 4, verses 24 to 26, we read, "When a leader sins unintentionally and does what is forbidden in any of the commands of the Lord his God, when he realizes his guilt and the sin he has committed becomes known, he must bring as his offering a male goat without defect. He is to lay his hand on the goat's head and slaughter it at the place where the burnt offering is slaughtered before the Lord. It is a sin offering, and he will be forgiven." Look back there at verse 21. In Genesis chapter 3, we read, what do we read? "The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife, and he clothed them." To clothe them properly, to care for them, to cover their shame, to forgive them, God provides garments of skin through death. The death in this case of an animal. But the death of an animal was not the perfect plan of God to take away the consequences of our sin. It was a pattern of what to come. It was not the perfect plan for God to forgive and show he cares. We read in Hebrews 10 verses 1 to 6, "The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming, not the realities themselves. For this reason, it can never, by the same sacrifices repeatedly, endlessly, year after year, make perfect those who draw near to worship. If it could, would they not have stopped being offered? For the worshippers would have been cleansed once for all and would no longer have felt guilty for their sins. But those sacrifices are an annual reminder of sins, because it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins." In God's good timing, he would send his son Jesus to do just that. And the reading goes on. "Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, 'Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased. Then I said, here I am, it is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, O God.' First," he said, "sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, although the law required them to be made. Then he said, 'Here I am. I have come to do your will.' He sets aside the first to establish the second." In 1 Peter 5 verses 21, we read, "God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God." And in Romans 5 verse 19, "For just as though the disobedience of one man, that many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous." To clothe us properly, to care for us, to cover the shame of our sin, and to forgive us. God provided Jesus. God provided your Lord and your Saviour, Jesus, through his death. Remember in our gospel reading, Jesus asked, "He who was without sin, cast the first stone." Who was left? The woman, yes. She couldn't really go anywhere. But Jesus was the only one left. And he says, "Neither do I condemn. Go, leave your life of sin." Through and in Christ, we are forgiven and given a fresh start, like Adam and Eve were, to care. Thirdly, God shows us his cares for us and his creation by eventually, strangely, letting us die. Now, not able to care properly as God had desired and designed for his creation, the caring thing to do for us and for his creation is to take us out of it. Verses 22 to 24 we read. Look down there at Genesis chapter 3, verses 22 to 24. "And the Lord God said, 'The man has now become like one of us, knowing good and evil. He must not now be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever.' So the Lord God banished him from the Garden of Eden to work the ground from which he had been taken. And he drove the man out. He placed on the east side of the Garden of Eden cherubim and a flaming sword flashing back and forth to guard the way to the tree of life." And it makes sense to do so, doesn't it? Just think about it. We can't manage to bring about a perfect world with the people we just have now. In our newfound wisdom and knowledge, both good and evil, we think we can. And in some places we teach we can. But imagine what the world would be like if no one died from Adam. Logic suggests it would be far worse a world to live in. The wages of sin is death. Romans 6:23. As in Adam, all die. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 23. We are barred from the tree of life and live forever here. But God doesn't change. God, in his great care for us, plans and planned for a new creation. At the end of the Bible, there we hear of the tree of life again, in Revelation chapter 22. In the new creation we call heaven. It is there and then we can take of the tree of life and live forever. We read there in Revelation 22 verses 1 to 6. "Then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb down the middle of the great street of the city. On each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. They will see his face and his name will be on their foreheads. There'll be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will be for them their light, and they will reign forever and ever." The angel said to me, "These words are trustworthy and true." There and then will be what God desired and designed for us to be. There and then, not now, in the new creation, at Christ's return, at the resurrection of the dead. Yes, the wages of sin is death. But what does the verse go on to say? But the gift of God is eternal life. How? In Christ Jesus our Lord. As in Adam all die, what does the verse go on to say? So in Christ shall all be made alive. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 22. What was once very good no longer is. But one day, brothers and sisters, it will be. The hope of which in Christ is God's healing care for us. We, God's people, are now left with a choice. We are left with a choice to care or not to care. And that leads us into chapter 4 for next week. Let me pray.